Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren, und herzlich willkommen zur heutigen Telefonkonferenz der Allianz SE anlässlich der Veröffentlichung des Geschäftsergebnisses im dritten Quartal 2010. Für Ihre Information, diese Konferenz wird aufgezeichnet. An dieser Stelle möchte ich das Wort an Herrn Christian Kroos übergeben. Bitte schön.
Ja, guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren. Auch ich begrüße Sie zur Telefonkonferenz zu den Ergebnissen des dritten Quartals der Allianzgruppe. Wie üblich wird Sie Oliver Bethe durch die Ergebnisse führen, und im Anschluss haben wir die Fragen- und Antwortenrunde, um auf Ihre detaillierten Fragen einzugehen. Herr Bethe, bitteschön.
Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren. Ich grüße Sie aus dem sonnigen München. Das Wetter passt zu unseren Ergebnissen. Wir sind sehr froh, Ihnen die Ergebnisse des dritten Quartals heute vorstellen zu können. Ich brauche, glaube ich, ungefähr eine halbe Stunde, 35 Minuten, um Ihnen die Zahlen zu erläutern, und dann haben wir noch hoffentlich viel Zeit für Fragen und Antworten. Wir haben in Summe ein sehr erfreuliches drittes Quartal zu verzeichnen. Ich mache jetzt Folgendes, wie üblich, gehe durch die einzelnen Tablet-Seiten durch und sage Ihnen jeweils, wo ich in unserer Präsentation bin, damit Sie das zeitnah verfolgen. Seite 3 gibt Ihnen den Überblick über die wesentlichen Nachrichten, zumindest aus unserer Sicht. Wir haben ein zweistelliges Umsatzwachstum von auf mittlerweile 4.
We had double-digit revenue growth of 24.5 billion. We have a strong operating profit of 2.1 billion euros, and the net income was at 1.3 billion euros. I will talk about this in a minute. Our capital position is still very strong, and we're currently at 168% in our solvency ratio. On page 4, you will get the general overview about the quarterly results, the development of revenues compared to the previous year, nominal plus of 11.4%, operating profit grew on a quarter-to-quarter comparison by 2.3%, and the net income from continuing operations minus 8.8% compared to the previous year. I will talk about the reasons in a minute. This is above all due to a higher tax burden for the quarter, but we are right on track for the year. And that the quarterly view is not always that helpful, I would say. I think the nine-month comparison is the better point to look at. We had 8 billion more in revenues in the first nine months compared to the previous year, and we're also 1 billion up in the operating result compared to the previous year after 9 months, and the net income is at 5 billion, so 800 million more than in the previous year when we look at the first 9 months. And we think that against the economic backdrop, this is a very positive development. On page 5, you can see the development of our capitalization. On the left-hand side, our shareholders' equity has increased by 2.5% to 44.9 billion. And on the right-hand side, you can see our conglomerate solvency, which is at 168%. Two remarks on that. If you look at the figures in more detail, you can see that our revenue reserves have slightly decreased. That is due to a foreign exchange effect, because in these reserves, we always see the value, reserves for the value of our foreign business in euro. And compared to the previous year, we had a decrease of 1 billion, and this is which is unavoidable due to volatility in foreign exchange markets. And on the right-hand side, this is reflected in part in the conglomerate solvency. We, on the one hand side, have higher requirements because we're growing, so that's the positive news about that. And the euro value of our U.S. liabilities has increased, that's the one element. And the other one is that from our net income, we always reserve 50% for dividend payments, and this, therefore, has to be taken out of solvency when it comes to calculations, and that leads to the slight decrease to 168%. Let me now come to the group results, starting on page 7. On page 7, you can see revenue growth according to the different segments, and we always have the differentiation between our nominal growth and our internal growth, as we call it. And just to remind you, our internal growth is adjusted for foreign exchange and consolidation effects. The internal growth was 6.5%. In P&C, we had minus 1.1%. In life health, plus 11.7%. And asset management is still continuing to grow strongly with 28.8%. one remark on PNC. We had a one-off effect here, restructuring in our agricultural business compared to the previous year in crop insurance, and that accounts for approximately 50% or more than 50% of those 1.1 minus. Taking that, if we take this out, we would have remained more or less flat. Then you can see significant volatility between the different segments, which is due to the economic crisis. I mean, the financial institutions are still feeling this, whereas others don't feel this that strong. But financial institutions feel this through the low interest rate level and the high volatility, which has a negative effect on some segments but positive on others. And in sum, through all the portfolios, we reach good results. Let me now come to the individual values. Property casualty was improved, as you can see on page 9, by 8.8% compared to the previous year's quarter. Life health decreased compared to the previous year. 2 points here. Last year we had high one-off effects, credit spread changes in the third quarter of 2009, which had a very positive effect on our business, especially in the United States and France, and these special effects this year didn't occur. And the other point is that we had a goal of 2.3 to 2.8 billion euros for life and health in for the whole year, and we've reached the 2.3 billion after the third quarter, and the 655 million that we've reached is right in this corridor that we were aiming at, so we're really satisfied with our result there. Asset management outperforms our expectations with 521 million, a world-class value, and the result in corporate and other is on target for the year, but over time we want to reach higher results there as well, of course. Banking is also included in corporate as other, and the banking result has improved by 13 million euros approximately compared to the previous year. Let me now come to the non-operating items on page 9. We have the same components as always: realized gains and losses, interest expense, private equity, and so on, down to the reclassification of tax benefits. And this quarter, I would like to talk about the realized gains and losses. If you look on the right-hand side, you can see the individual components there, so divided up by asset classes. You can see that we have an increase in realized gains in debt securities. Two remarks on this. The 11 million of the previous year were extremely low. On average, we had 70 to 80 million, and the current value is slightly above this average of 70 to 80, and this is due to the fact that the duration of our assets was prolonged, and therefore we were able to book slight price increases. The other positions aren't that remarkable. If we come back to the left table, if we look at the interest expense, we're on plan with 225 million. The private equity investment result at minus 48 million against the financial backdrop. Restructuring changes minus 11, also on track. And the acquisition related expenses of 80 million euros, that is a decrease of 32 million compared to the previous year's quarter. Then we have the point of the non-operating. What is included here? Well, what led to this large swing here? Well, we had two positions above all that are responsible for this. First, write-offs on goodwill and immaterial assets of 55 million, and then a market value correction in our options or on the hard fought warrants. So securities with a high degree of volatility. Here you take the value at the beginning of the quarter and at the end of the quarter, and then this leads to then you look at the change of value. And for this quarter, in sum, we had minus 29 million, and the positive change in the previous year was a plus of 92 million. If you combine this, you have a swing of 121 million negatively, which was due to the high volatility in the capital markets. And as long as we will have these warrants, they will be reflected with their volatility in our results. Let me add one point on the right-hand side. The realized gains, the balance of unrealized gains and losses was reduced by over a billion due to the capital market situation, whereas the balance of unrealized gains and losses has increased from 2.3 to, in fixed income, has increased from 2.3 to 5.6 billion. So that's not an increase of wealth, but because liabilities to our customers follow in parallel. This is just due to the low interest rate situation that we currently have. Let me now come to the figures for our property and casualties segment, starting on page 12. On page 12, you can see the summary. We have revenues of 10.6 billion euros for the quarter, and operating profit, which was up 9% to 1.1 million euros. The combined ratio was at 97.1%. Against the backdrop of the situation, that's quite a good result, actually, and in spite of the fact that we still have a high burden from net cats. Our runoff was at 3.4 percentage points, which is in the framework of what you would expect in such an economic situation, and I will talk about this in more detail in a few minutes. On page 13, you not just see the P&C revenues development for the whole segment, but also the development in the individual OEs. And let me just explain this. In the left three columns, you see the development in euros, whereas on the right-hand side, the changes in the very right column, that's the internal growth, as we call it. So that's adjusted for foreign exchange and consolidation effects. Therefore, those figures don't always seem to fit, but we want to take out foreign exchange if we look at the growth. And if we see the figures, we can realize that in large European core markets, if we look at the adjusted figures, we're still slightly shrinking. That is to do to the fact that we have intensive competition when it comes to margins and prices in some of these markets, and we need to protect our margins. But there are other segments, such as South America or the United Kingdom, then credit insurance, or also Australia, where we are growing strongly and highly profitably. And that shows the strength of our portfolio, that we can balance weaknesses in some markets by profitability in other strong countries. A figure that should be mentioned is the United States. In a local currency, we've lost revenue, 10.9% of revenue, and we had a change there in crop insurance and also in ship insurance, and that makes it difficult to interpret this figure. There was a change, a transition compared to 2008, and 0.9% for the whole segment influenced just from crop insurance alone. And you always have two effects, your price and the volume effect in general in the system, and the price effect was positive for the first time, above 1%, which we haven't seen in 3 years or so, and that balanced the negative volume effect that we've had. So much for revenue development in P&C. Let me now talk about profitability in this segment, and that is on page 14. As you can see, the operating profit has increased by 8.8%, and on the right-hand side you can see that the drivers behind this, the components that play a role. We have the underwriting result, the investment result, and others. Underwriting and investment both improved, and in investment here you see the prolongation of our duration once again, which leads to an increase of 50 million, and you can also see the underwriting results. Let me talk about the combined ratio, one or the other. Expert might say, how can this be? Underwriting result has improved, but the combined ratio hasn't been improved. Why is that? Well, that's a purely technological effect, because you hear, you also see the claims returns, and in underwriting, which isn't fully reflected in combined ratio. So a slight understatement of the positive effect we have, and I prefer this compared to the if it was the other way around. And on a 9-month basis, our result has also increased by approximately 95 million in underwriting and 13 in investment, and against this we have 40 million effects from lower service revenues in credit insurance. And so on a 9-month basis, we can be quite satisfied with the positive result we've seen so far. Page 15 shows you one of the most important figures here, the combined ratio. As I said before, we're at 97.1%, which is, from our point of view, good value. We have the loss ratio and the expense ratio, and let me talk about both. On the right-hand side, you can see the results for the individual OEs. the negative value that you see for Germany stands out in the first line. Germany is still affected by many natural catastrophes. We had 5.8 percentage points on a quarterly basis more in NatCat burdens compared to the previous year. So enormous effects on our German portfolio, and we're still seeing larger major claims. For example, the bullet train accident that led to an increase, all these major claims led to an increase of 1.1 percentage points. In Eastern Europe, if you stay in the same line, you might ask yourself, how does this come up? 110.8 plus 14 percentage points, a combination of special effects. One was the introduction of the financial market tax in Hungary, which in itself is responsible for 3.7 percentage points. Then we had major claims in Russia, which led to a write-off and an additional cost reserve. That alone was responsible for 4.8 percentage points. And then we have heightened claims once again for the flood damages in the second quarter, another 4 percentage points. So our poor colleagues in Central and Eastern Europe were severely hit by this, and you have to see this against this backdrop. When it comes to the size of their portfolio, those were really major effects that they had there. Then we have other markets which are significantly below 100%, core markets that are doing very strong. France has improved to 98.1%. The country was severely hit in the previous year by major claims. So currently have lost connection, it seems. I don't know.
So we have not seen we don't have the connection anymore. So before settlement and also unless there's a more precise view into our non-life insurances, we see a nice trend, and you're going to look at the box on the top left. So the development over 9 quarters for our combined ratio before and after NatCat. And for the first time since the first quarter 2008, our combined ratio for the year has dropped below 70%, 69.1, which is a very good piece of information. And the second fact, now I'm losing Mr. Bethe. I cannot properly hear him. Hopefully it gets better. So NatCat's at plus 1.4%. And so the loss inflation to the quarter of 0.3%, you can see very strong positive effects from price increases that we also find in the portfolio. And so we have the night corrections where we don't see enough profitability in the market, and for the first time more than 1% with 1.1 percentage points. Plus the positive development from credit insurance, which was bad for 1.5 years, so that the combined ratio is flat as compared to the previous year, despite the high losses from NatCats, even in the third year. I mentioned the settlement result, and you know, it's really clean, and a lot of our competitors have much higher results in this environment. And on the right-hand side, finally, you can see in the third quarter with 3% NatCats, and we have the double figures that we normally have, so our portfolio can also sustain damages and losses like that. That's what I wanted to say about details and the technological part. So first on page 17, we go to expenses. We do differentiate administration and other acquisition expenses and commissions. To start with the commissions, basically stayed within the flat with 14.6%, two more effects, 150 million FX impact, and also growth. We pay for that. We don't have a problem. You see 50 points of increase, which is not nice in the total, but we have some special effects that we see. So one one-off effect, 90 million, and this includes the one-off expenses from Russian and reinsurance receivables. In the previous year, we had the settlement of a health benefit plan with a positive impact on the three-quarter 2009 results of 23 million. And also we paid backup functions in Switzerland only, which is 90 million of one-off effects. But we also have recurrent items in this segment reporting that drive up the costs upwards. So the balance sheet modernization law, that is a recurring item of 35 million, but it is not relevant on the group level because it only relates to the segment only. And then we have the financial tax in Hungary, and this unfortunately, this is not going away. So without these special influences, we have a stable cost development. Given the fact that our sales go back, we cannot be satisfied. We have to work on our profitability, of course. Page 18 gives you an overview of this second large result. Income, these are the operating income increases by 6% to 841 million euros. And there are always three components that you find there, interests and similar income, net harvesting and other, and nothing special, the duration expiry, the duration prolongation leads to slightly higher operating investment income. The good piece of information here, that's what you see on page 19, that our investment portfolio based on which we are generating our income from the investment side, it has been growing up to 95 billion euros by 6%. So the average asset base is going up in order to balance out the dropping interest. So the current yield, interest yield has gone down. This is a normal development. Should stabilize on the basis on which we're doing business at the moment. So the share quarterly return is quite high because of extraordinary income from private equity and real estate, which will not recur again. That was what I wanted to say about non-life. Then I would like to talk about life and health insurance on pages 21 following. So the development in life and life and health is very good. Revenues up 16% to 12.6 billion euros. Operating profit, like I said before, to 655 million. The operating base, asset base, which is also growing, which is the interest base for a major part of our summary, which is now 418 billion euros. And the value of new business with a new model, with the current new model, is at 147 million euros with a new business margin of 1.6%. Very good results given the interest environment. Page 22 shows you the revenues based on products and also based upon the individual OEs. So we've listed the most important companies on this page. So the piece of information is that we have a balance in the portfolio. We're growing in assets, but also in our traditional life insurance products. It's very important that we have a clean balance according to products, but we're also growing by regions. There are two markets where we're not growing at the moment, and we're happy about that, Switzerland and the Netherlands, because the margins are quite unattractive because of the interest development. So we don't want to have unprofitable business. So on the core business in Germany, we're still growing, but in other markets, we're not growing, where we have good margins and with quite good values. What you can see on this page 22, the strong growth in the U.S. as related to the previous quarter and also in Asia. Two remarks on that. In Asia, in the third quarter 2009, we had an extraordinary drop of volume, which is because of a statistic effect, because the value annuities product was reduced the first quarter and completely recalculated. And now we're seeing this with a very good profitability, selling it out into the market, and that's why we have the statistic effects and that's why we have this large growth rate. We're strongly growing in Asia, basically in Taiwan, where we have a unit-linked product which is really profitable, and we're growing a lot in Japan in our new startup. If we take the operating result, operating profit, 655 million on page 23, and if you look at the components, so we do see this swing on the on the investment side. On the third quarter 2009, we still had 653, now it's 425, which is a normal value because this is rejections from credit spreads that we had to come from the U.S., and it was the plus 130 million, which were non-recurring. And the same applied to France. Back then it was plus 66 million, and now they were no longer materializing. Special effects in the third quarter, 28 million, 4 million of insurance tax in Hungary, and also we corrugated settlement costs of about 24 million in one country. One important information about the operating profit for those who want to see the operating profit over years, so the figures for life and health segment have been adapted as compared to the previous years. Now, in the backup of the information that we provided you with, there's a technical explanation that we annexed and that we attached. What happened and what was going on? And basically, the accounting principles for American life and life business have been adjusted. There's an important product group that is called fixed index annuities, which was suffering under extraordinary accounting volatility, which was not economically reflected, and we wanted to correct that for a few years now. And thanks to the colleagues, we found a regulation to do that, so the investment side was corrected, but also so the liabilities were corrected. We took out the liability. So I don't want to go too much into the technical details. Those colleagues who want to know any further details, they can contact us. We're going to explain them the technical component. Over the past two quarters, you can see the profit correction. Under the bottom line, our profit is going to be much less volatile, and the true economics will be better reflected. So the investment income in life and health that I would like to talk about now can be found on page 24, basically stable with 4.1 billion euros, like in non-life insurance, the main driver being the interest and similar income with 2.7 to 3.6 billion, where we have net realization gains and investment expenses, which are more or less unchanged. Page 25 shows that we still see positive net inflows despite the low interest environment, and the 1.6 billion positive net inflows basically derived from Germany, from the US, and from Asia. So positive market effects of 7.3% were overcompensated by negative exchange rate effects because of the large position in the US and the drop of the decline of the US dollar. Life and health total asset base, which are the assets without unit linked, without investment product, they're also growing nicely and very strongly to 14.1% to 347 million. And the quarterly, the current yield is also within the quarterly area at 1.8, and then the debt securities is still slightly below because of the value adjustments of in the area of the goodwill that I was talking about before. Page 27 looks at the new business margin, and it's always difficult because it's anyone's best guess. That is our current, that's our perspective based on the normal position that we keep adapting by Solvency II. So based on what we showed here, based on the quarterly results, in all areas we've seen positive margins. In Europe, in Asia, in the U.S., and the margin has even gone up in Asia because we were controlling away from guaranteed products to unit-linked products. The margin increased to 2.1%. And also in Europe, because despite the strong pressure onto the interest, still 2.1% margin. And in the U.S., we still have 50 base points. And in variable annuities, we have very good margins. In fixed income annuities, there is a product reconstruction where the margins are going to be further improved. On the right-hand side, you see the development of the new business margin over time. So from our perspective, our margin is quite comfortable with 1.6%, which is, looking at the interest rate, which is lower than in 2008, is really still very comfortable. That's what I wanted to say about life and health insurance. Now let me talk about this year's highlight, asset management, on page 29. Our total assets under management exceed 1.4 billion euros and a trillion euros, and this is really an important figure. And third-party assets under management above 1.1 trillion. And we have exceptionally strong third-party net inflows with 40 billion. And we thought that 37 in the first quarter would not be coming back, but I want to say more about that. And the operating profit continues at record levels and cost-income ratio of 58.5%. You're going to see that this profit is a really top value in the industry, 58.5%.
Figures are self-evident, so I don't need to go into detail here. But on page 31, you can see the third-party net inflows, which are enormous. If you compare the third quarter of 2008 to today, that is a continuous development. But, of course, it could go into another direction. The fourth quarter in 2008 showed this when we had outflows of 39 billion. So, of course, reduced interest rates are something that helps us on the fixed income side. Sticking to the net inflows and the assets under management, our commission and net fee income has increased significantly. We have a nominal plus of 43%, and on an internal basis we have 39.9% plus. And we're not just earning more money, but also the quality of our results has improved. The commission margin, as we're calculating this, has increased to another 10 percentage points to 40.1 base points. So the quality is also improving, not just the volume. Operating results on page 33 shows the record levels that we've reached and which we are also sustaining with 521 million billion euros. And the drivers, as you can see, are above all net fees and commission income, plus 369 to 1.235 billion euros. The operating expenses increase as well. You need more hands and feet to manage more assets, and we're also investing in new products and product platforms. If we look at the individual components in asset management on pages 34 and 35, you can see that the development has been driven above all by fixed income papers, and where we had assets of 983 million now. So we are close to 1 billion euro now. We are above a billion in dollars. Net inflow plus 40.6%. The outperformance is at 91%, so this can hardly be improved at all. And the operating profit has increased by 44% to 432 million euros. Then equity business on page 35, another increase of assets, plus 7% in spite of a slow reduction of net flows. We have a good result here in industry comparison. The net inflows we had at PIMCO in the United States were higher, as I read from the magazines, from newspapers, were higher than those of the whole equity assets or the equity investment industry in the United States. So we're doing quite good here. On the performance side, we want to grow. 61% is above market average, but it's not what we want to see, and we want to improve our situation here. Operating profit has doubled compared to the previous year, and we would like to see more here, but against the market situation, this is quite a good value, actually. To sum up asset management on page 36, you have a figure that's often forgotten. It's not just operating profitability, but also what's the net income contribution for the investor. And here we have a highly positive development based on the purchase actions we've taken for purchasing the so-called B shares, which we had discussed in the past, and the contribution of the asset management business that comes to us has therefore clearly increased by 92.5% compared to the previous year's quarter to 281 million euros. And we expect the positive development to continue over proportionally. For this year alone, if you combine all this, the asset management quarterly result was it accounts for 22% of the group portfolio. So that balances the weak markets we've seen in property and casualty, which shows that our portfolio is currently well balanced. To sum this up, on page 33, Let me just repeat the highlights. With a double-digit revenue growth to 24.5 billion euros, a strong operating profit from our point of view of 2.1 billion euros, net income at 1.3 billion euros, a solid capital position with 168% solvency ratio, and a few words on the outlook, because some of you will be asking for this. On the base of the results that we've seen so far, we expect to end in the upper range of our upper end of our target range of around 7.2 billion euros plus or minus 0.5 billion euros. But we always have to take into account financial market volatilities and net caps that could occur. And I'm now looking forward to your questions and would like to thank you for your kind attention. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you want to ask a question, please press *1 on your keypad. And please make sure that you've deactivated the mute button so that you can that your signal can reach us. If your question has been answered, you can go out of the question round by pressing *2. So press, once again, press *1 for your question. We have the first question by Mr. Höppner of Handelsblatt. Good morning, Mr. Bethe. Good morning, Mr. Gross. I have two questions. First of all, what are your expectations for 2011? And then, do you see yourself as a system-relevant company? You know about the list that's going around. Good morning, Mr. Höppner. I don't want to say too much about 2011, which is due to the fact that we are currently in the planning round for 2011, so I can't give you any figures. I can only tell you that 2011 will remain to be a challenge based on the economic situation we're in. We're working on making sure that we can keep what we promised the market, but I can't give you any specific figures at this point in time. And the question of system relevance, that's quite a complex topic in discussion, and if you have a minute, I would like to give you a more complex answer in this case, because I don't want to just say that we want to be system relevant. First of all, what is this about? Usually size and or oftentimes size and danger are mixed up. I mean, the size of an institution is easy to measure, but the danger that stems from it is difficult to see. So from our point of view, it's not size that matters that much, but the kind of business you're performing. And many of the institutions that have driven us into this crisis would never have shown up in a classical definition according to size, but the ones that we were afraid of in Germany and that we still are, that we're still struggling with, would never have come up on a size radar, and we should always look for the quality. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Bates and Mr. Gould. I have four questions, which link up to your balance thesis. You could also say there's an imbalance between certain segments. So do you think that life health will remain on the same level that we expected for this year? And so are you aiming high here? And then asset management is outperforming the other areas, one quarter of the whole profit, and there are expectations that this could grow to more than half in the mid-future. And then in PNC, you said you needed to work on profitability. So what kinds of measures are you thinking about? And my second question in this regard, in the quarterly report, you always have the remark that Allianz believes the prices will continue to increase. So what area are you aiming at here for 2011? Well, good morning, Mr. Fleming. Let me try to go through your individual questions. Well, the profit forecast, as I couldn't give the other colleague, and I wouldn't want to give this in the second question, but in general, life health, our life health business is, of course, a highly dynamic business. It depends a lot on the interest rate situation that we'll have in the next year. This will influence our revenues and profit in this area. If we're still in a low interest situation, this will lead to pressure on the business, that's clear. But on the other side, we have many highly profitable products in the non-traditional area, as you've seen in growth, that we can use in such a situation. So we don't think we will see high volatilities if the capital markets don't collapse completely. The negative scenario you could come up would be a crash in the U.S. bond markets. I mean, that's always possible in such a situation that something like this happens, but it's not something that we see as immediately probable on our radar. Now, asset management, compared to today, you can only say one thing. Those growth rates cannot be continued forever. That wouldn't be a solid base. But the fact that we have our asset base grown that much will help us to retain a high profitability value, because I'm always looking for the values taking out the performance fees, and they will support our values over the next few years, but I wouldn't want to give you any specific figures. In property casualty, there is a portfolio of measures that we're performing. Mr. Musher, together with his teams in the OEs, is working on increasing profitabilities by using group synergies above all, and we're trying to get a leaner IT platform. We want to have combined platforms here, and we have to do more in claims management. I think we haven't done enough here over the last 2 or 3 years, and we're looking at this more now, especially in our core markets, Germany, France, and Italy. So, as I said, a whole variety of measures, but in P&C, there are no short-term measures. This is a business that has to do with execution in detail and with having to steer harder sometimes. Then the distribution architecture is another point. The direct channel is growing in our portfolio, and it will continue to grow stronger than traditional channels over the next few years, and we have to make sure that we are profitable in these areas. So we need to focus on the direct channel, where this channel can grow in a profitable way, which is the case in Italy right now, where we're growing in double-digit figures. So this is a channel that can be more efficient, not just in expenses, but also in claims management. And then you were asking for the expenses. There's usually one in our backup slides where we look at, or the prices rather, when we have a backup slide usually where we look at the individual countries. We expect further price increases for the following years. We had price increases on renewed business this year of plus 2.1% and nominal price increases for 2010 of 2.8%, which is above the values we had in the previous years. And for many countries, we expect further price increases. There are two or three exceptions. One of the most important ones is the key account business of the major customers. Here we see price decreases, which is not understandable for me, but this is what the ROEs report to us, and we need to be cautious if you look at the risks that exist in this channel. Okay, can I ask one more question on the direct channel? Yes, of course. Mr. Diekmann said that there might be a restructuring in this area. Can we expect something like this? I don't know what you're referring to. Maybe you're talking about the car manufacturer business? No, Mr. Diekmann in general talked about the importance of the direct channel and that we would have to consider, that you would have to consider it until the end of the year. No, we don't have any special projects right now. We're just trying to adapt the programs we have in the individual markets and to create system energy, group synergies there. Okay, thank you. We'll now come to a question of Oliver Suess of Bloomberg. Good morning. My questions are referring to the topic of ICBC. You basically, in all of the quarters, you sold shares there, and I think you still have around 400 million in there, but are you trying to reduce this to zero? Is this a continuing topic, or will you reach the strategic contribution that you want to hold? Well, as you can imagine, Mr. Suess, I try not to talk too much about stakes that we have in companies. We have less than 1% in ICBC. We're feeling quite well with this, but I can't give you any plans what we'll be doing in the future, because this might be negative to our shareholders. Okay, then Thailand, the the strategy, do you want to sell there? I've seen reports about this. Well, I haven't seen any reports about this. I've heard rumors. We feel quite well in Taiwan. We are growing there profitably. We have a good customer business, and we're glad that all the others are gone because that gives us much more business opportunities than in the past. Okay, then, last question. Some analysts said that the profit goal to come to the upper end of the range would be conservative or pessimistic, so why is that? Well, in Allianz in general, we are conservative. That is, I think we have a good value there, and we've seen so much volatility, Mr. Seuss. The Nat Cats in the third quarter, I mean, this could have looked quite differently. We could have more claims in the United States on top, and property casualty would look completely different. So we don't want to create any expectations that we can't fulfill at the end of the day. We prefer to have it the other way around. Next question, please. The next question is of Christian Kramer of Reuters. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Kramer. Well, I have some questions in the hope that we can get figures. The New Zealand earthquake, has this affected you in any way? And then in Hungary, you had the poison slur there. Are you affected by this? Could you shed a little light on the situation there? And then some newspapers wrote that you're interested in part of the train. The train wrecks from London to the channel. Okay, so those were three questions, right? New Zealand, the slur and sludge and the Eurotunnel, right? Yeah. Okay, New Zealand, we were affected. We had a net burn by this of 38 million euros. Million, you said? No. We have to correct this. Our back office is not that fit this morning, so we had a net burden of 10 million euros. Gross was 38. Poison sludge, I don't want to say anything about this right now, which is due to the fact that the regulators in Hungary don't want us to publish any figures. We are involved in this, but we don't expect any major burden from this. And then individual investments, if we're bidding or not, this is just as with M&A, we wouldn't be positive if we said something about this. So this means yes, this means we don't say anything. Okay. Then in the financial press conference, you not only had the goal of the profit you were talking about, but also the combined ratio of 96.5%, which was put in the background due to the natural catastrophes, and this can't be reached due to the many storms and earthquakes, right? Well, I wouldn't want to give you a value for the end of the year, because we couldn't have winter storms, but 96.5%, this is something we can hardly reach. We're now above the value of 97 point something, and it will depend on the fourth quarter, but we're going into the right direction. So if you take out the NatCat special effects, then we're right on the target corridor. We haven't reached exactly what I wanted to reach, but we had quite a good result if you take these one-off effects out. Next question, please. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press asterisk 1 on your keypad. The next question is of Ulrike Dauer of Dow Jones.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I wanted to ask about the high-speed rail link, and you didn't want to answer that, but it got dropped a bit. Whether you are part of a consortium and whether you have entered an offer by 28th of October. The second question about acquisitions in Switzerland, is anything planned? You said that you want to stay profitable and don't want to grow, really. But there are some voices that seem to interpret the recent sale of the Swiss subsidiaries that there could be other activities like Baloise, so that would be the second question. And also, thirdly, maybe you can say generally acquisitions There is cash flow that was mentioned in the interview that is available once Solvency II has been clarified. It is because this is going to be clear how much capital will be required. And when can we expect news in this area? All right, sure. First to question one, not only because I want to be fair to the colleagues, but also basically it applies. We only say something about investments once they have been finalized, and this is not the case in this respect. That's why I don't want to say anything. Further acquisitions in Switzerland are not planned, and acquisitions are under the bottom line. It still applies here. We need to understand what are the results of Solvency II, and I hope it would be clear soon. That's what I was saying. But it has to be further adjusted because the capital requirements still on the list are far beyond what makes economically sense. So we're going to pursue M&A once more clearly, once we know that, once we understand the capital capitalization of Allianz are clear with Solvency II implementation. We don't plan many major acquisitions, and mostly the people pay too much for large investments with regard to intrinsic value. There are countries where we have good operations and strong management teams where we can find portfolios which fit very nicely into our company is something that we look at intensively. Once the situation is right, we're going to say something about that. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Next question comes from Herbert Frommer from Financial Times Deutschland. Thank you. Good morning. I have a very simple question. The synergy effects in the group, does that also include the merger of operating insurance like of non-life, like Zurich was doing that? Mr. Diekmann did not fully exclude that in the conference. Mr. Frommer, good morning, yes. Further to synergies and in the group, that is a question of the group structure, and quite often they say that there are other companies who have established a branch model consequently, and we are checking this intensively. So packing everything into a branch model does not make sense. And whereas like in Euler Credit Insurance Worldwide, RGCS and Mondial, we've chosen this model because that fits the business model and it offers us synergies both on the capital and on the operating side. But as compared to other competitors, we see quite high capital synergies within the countries, particularly where we have non-life and life insurances. That means the capital gains or the capital savings because of life, local diversification because the capital and life are just as much as if you were building a European integrated platform. Nevertheless, we still continue working on the simplification of our structures due to the minority buyout and we can say that in German as well. And we made very good progress, but there's also complexity because of intermediate holdings, smaller minorities in certain countries that we have to take out in order to improve our capital control and to improve our inner synergies, and we're working closely on that. Does that mean you want to cancel the European branch model? And you say that you keep on checking that. No, we want to depart from this depart solution. Next question again. And if you want to register for a question, press *1 on your telephone pad. We have a follow-up question from Oliver Süß from Bloomberg, please. Yes, I've got one more question. You know, currently we see the fifth impact study of Solvency II. What is your impression, Mr. Bethe, regarding that? Because there should be results available soon. Has this been making progress that you can be satisfied with the project? Or will there be further analysis needed? So the evaluation is carried out. The results have not been finalized yet, so that's why we cannot make any statements yet. But I think that Allianz will get good results in this analysis. I can't give you details, but nevertheless, on the bottom line, our capital requirements for life insurance business with guarantees are quite overstated. So that's where we see the biggest adjustment need. Well, yes, particularly in business that offers long-term guarantee, due to the modeling of the very, very long-term cash flows, there's an increased capital need in cash flows in from 50 to 100 depending on the modeling, and that leads to a lot of distortions of the figures. You need to find something that is more practical and does not damage the business model, although it has nothing to do with the economics. But I do trust in the regulatory side that they will find good regulations. What is the Allianz's position? Because other peers have required that, like in Basel III, there should be a transitional period for the implementation. I think this is quite often depending on the fact that the system effort for implementing these regulations is quite high. Allianz is well positioned because we keep investing into internal models for many years, and for other peers who haven't done that, I see great challenges coming up on the horizon. And those companies that are don't that big like us, they should have time to get adjusted to this new regulation. Thank you. Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. Once you said you bought ATM Aldi real estate. I was just asking why you didn't buy the second deal, Mrs. Dauer. That's a very interesting question, but it's like saying if Granny had wheels, she would be a bus. So we always check the bus positions about the merit and the value. And we're quite happy with this individual transaction, but we have to look at always other transactions as well and have to analyze that in detail. Michael Flemick from Börsen-Zeitung. So I'd like to take the occasion to ask an additional question, Mr. Bader. You mentioned that the combined ratio of NatCats and the before settlements is below 70%, from 69.1% for the. And you also mentioned that the loss management has to be improved. That's why my question, where do you see realistic targets? So before settlement of NatCat, where could do you get realistically in combined ratio? I don't want to be too smart here. Yeah, sure, the loss ratio. No problem, loss ratio. That's what you meant. I don't want to tell a target and say next year after you said last year, but the value in the long-term horizon over the cycle is at 68% as a minimum. We had much better values though, but that's where we need to get, that's what we need to achieve, 68. Then the profitability is where we would like to speed over the cycle. That's why there's not much secret about that, and it's a good figure. We're also in some of the most important OEs, we try to get below 65% and press it below that level. To make sure to have the chance sustainably to bear interest on our capital, even if other interests are staying on a low level. That's important to understand that the loss expenses, which is quite often forgotten in the industry, because there's a lot of transversal investment from funding from the investment, apart from the cost expenses. Thank you very much, Mr. Bitter. Next question. Stefan Bayer from DPI, please. Good morning. I would like to probe on the losses, and you said the ICE loss, that I think that was the one with the garbage car, yeah. Is that bigger, or can you give a figure? And the second question, and the annual report mentions 137 million euros for storms and flood, and I didn't know that Viola for you, is that probably the Elbe flood? Do you have an own figure for that? Yeah, my colleagues are preparing the individual figures. Let us talk about the total figures for Germany, that's why I can give you the factors. Looking at the previous year quarter and comparing them, then the increase is 3.4 points. And on the point level I can tell you, and then I'm going to tell you the individual components. Worldwide in the third quarter, let's go through before we look at the overall segment. Looking at Germany, because your questions related more or less to Germany. The first topic, 3.4 total points, along the loss from NatCat was 5.8 points. So the net effect would be much higher if we didn't have balancing effects. And the floods were included, like Viola, and they also have female names. I don't know why. And the storms, Petra and Urena, everything that is fun is called in female women, names. And there are a few elementary events which don't fit into the NatCat definition because they fall below certain definition. NatCats are events of a certain scope. which happen within a certain a small area. If it takes longer than 72 hours, then per definition as a contract, and this is like the complexity in, usually in our industry, then this is no longer called a NatCat. If it's longer than 72 hours, then we had major damages, major losses. 1.1% were stronger than the previous year in the third quarter. And the balance, and you're asking about the balance, and basically came from the lower settlement losses, 1.6%. That means we didn't have to have a follow-up reservation from the loss from the recession. And also in the base loss, we had a lower frequency. Particularly in 2009, we had a lot of overvoltage and lightning losses. Let me come to the third quarter and third worldwide. And that's why we see a bit more amounts in the millions. Now, in the third quarter, if you look at the topic of elementary losses in non-life and storms and hail in July, we had 40 million net in Germany alone. And the flood Viola accounted to a net 84 million in Germany, but another 60 million in Eastern Europe. That means flood events are not only important if you look at the individual country, quite often they will hit an entire region going beyond borders, and this ninth Viola added up to 144 million euros, which was one of the unpleasant developments. Now your final question, ICE, no, the Germans were talking about that, and now I've got the figure in front of my nose. And this is the cross of between 35 and 40 million euros for reinsurance. We cannot specify this because not all parts of the losses have been managed. That sounds quite high. How does that occur? You know, Mr. Bayer, we're covered. This is really a detail, but why not? It's not only about the values being concerned in losses like that. We also financing and we also cover interruptions of operations. If such a loss result in failures of business interruptions, we compensate for that. And also the NCF rent to be compensated, which is quite low. Thank you very much for that. Which is quite high. Thank you very much. Next question. Next question comes from Klaus Haringer from Euro am Sonntag. Yes, good morning. In light of the positive profit development, of cash flow development, can we expect that in the dividend in the next year will be higher, and also with regard to repurchase of shares, will you do more? That is your question? Yeah. Well, further to dividend, right. Let me say this. First of all, principally, policy looks at 40% of the net income for the target for the dividend. So the board is only proposing this dividend and the supervisor board makes the decisions. Of course, there is always large discussions in the equalization of the interest. That's why we can only say what we want to propose. So we stay with the target of the disbursement quota for 40% on the net income. Well, share repurchase programs are not in the pipeline at the moment. Thank you very much. Next question. Jonathan Gold from Reuters, please. Good morning, Mr. Gold. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, good morning. I was still listening to the last answer. My question relates to the current discussion relating to the banking reorganization law coming up in Germany, and generally about the bail-in ideas, the contingent capital and bank bonds. And many people say, you keep hearing things like, this will mean that insurers will going towards mortgages, and that means investment might shift. How do you see this discussion about contingent capital, and do you see also that this might create problems for the banks and also for the insurers if they have already so many bank bonds in their portfolio? Well, that would be an entire evening for that. Let me put this shortly. And one topic, well, yeah. So, in further to what we can invest in the future, we're largely influenced by the Solvency II regulations, where there are enormous capital requirements for bonds like that, which are similar to equity, that means something that has to look to be looked at by the regulator because of unwanted side effects that insurers who played an important role in financing the banking sector might fail in the future. And no one has taken a closer look at that and whether that is right to require such high levels of capital. So the bail-in question is quite open to relate to the so-called COCOs and whether we would ever purchase that. My personal opinion is, which will only be possible if they are construed and if they're reused like contingent bonds. And so these conversion rights and these convertible bonds are going to be quite expensive, but these capital products are going to be quite expensive for banks. Bank refinancing or bank finance with subordinated debts are about too cheap, and refinancing costs for banks are going to stay high on based on the proposals that we see at the moment. And then, of course, you need to take a look at solvency too. How is securitization dealt with regard to the bank requirements? It's a large problem. If securitization is not done properly, then bank capital requirements will come up, and that means not the equity or the security and the values that are standing behind the assets. That are standing behind. And that is a large concern because we have largely supported the banks by buying bonds. If the bond risk is being calculated with bank capital equivalent in the future, then also these products become quite unattractive for the banks in particular. So people have to come up with new concepts here. That is a wide field which is not looking good at the moment. And the connection between the insurance fund of the insurers and how the banks are going to cover their refinancing need in the next few years, I think that has not been quite well understood out there. And with regard to solvency too, that has to be looked at really, really urgently. So that means you don't see any quick solution from the G20 level, so that the problem is not because it's so big. Well, I think that with regard to Basel III, with the question with regard to the capital requirements, refinancing of the bank debt is something they focus on at the moment. And secondly, what does that mean for the liquidity control for the banks? So how can I define liquidity requirements? Because that is also part of that. And this on top of the Basel list at the moment. We would love to help because we're the biggest institutional investor in Europe. And it's important not only looking at the banking system, but those who back the system. So the concept of bank bail-ins, you would not be against it once the rules are clear. Not only if the rules are clear, but also when the yields are clear and returns. Of course, thank you very much.
Next question, please. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you want to ask a question or have a follow-up, please press asterisk 1 on your telephone keypad. Gentlemen, we don't have any further questions right now, so I would like to hand the word back to the management for your final words. Okay, then, we'd like to thank you for your interest, and we hope you will have a great day and a great week. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Till the next time. Goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's conference. We would like to thank all the participants, and hope you have a great day.